Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I know I say it like every single show, but it's true. Every single show, I'm super excited to be here because I get to hang out with amazingly cool people. And also, this is a wonderful way to kick off the weekend. For me, this is Friday morning. I know for a lot of you, it's Friday afternoon. And while all of you head out to the pub for a pint after the show, I'll actually head into the kitchen and make breakfast. I'm out of control, people. Speaking of out of control, Ben, how are you?
I am fantastic.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. And Dave, it's nice to see you again. How are you?
Yes. Seems like it was just yesterday. Oh, it was.
Oh, wait, right.
Oh, doing great. It's raining, but I'm inside and I'm glad to be here with all you guys.
Awesome.
Nothing else.
Awesome. Well, I know it's a very British thing to discuss the weather. So since you brought up rain, I looked out my window a few minutes ago. I have the blinds closed because, you know, we're recording. It's snowing. I had no idea. Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah. So weird. Anyhow, Chuck, how are you?
I'm great. I'm great. I've got bright sunshine here, which is why I have the drapes closed because we're recording. But I think I'm going to get David's weather tomorrow, the way it's looking.
Yep. It's on its way.
So thank you, David. Appreciate that.
Anytime.
So, Dave, you're just testing the weather for Chuck before it arrives.
Yeah.
That's a true friend right there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. And Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
I know you're
happy.
Multitasking
I
because I threw troubleshooting
yes.
stuff in your lap.
Well, that's true, yes. No, been a good week overall. Very busy, but a good weekend. Yeah, looking forward to my weekend. Can only get better.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, we're here. It's the Mac Show. We should probably talk about some Apple related stuff. And
maybe
let's trigger Chuck.
Awesome.
Oh, geez.
Poking
thanks.
The bear. Poking the bear.
Where are my blood
awesome.
Pressure meds?
Yeah, Chuck, here's the deal. Apple is being hit with a class action lawsuit because they are supposedly price gouging customers on iCloud storage. And yeah, so, you know, just jabbing it right in there. Yeah. So this lawsuit claims that that Apple giving people 5 gigabytes of storage on iCloud for free, apparently that's not enough. So you're overpaying for your free storage. excuse me. But then I guess they don't like the prices that you pay for the higher storage capacities. And I'm going to share my favorite quote from the lawsuit right up front. Apple has marked up its iCloud prices to the point where the service is generating almost pure profit. Welcome to capitalism, where
yes.
The purpose of your product is to create profit.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Chuck, here's your soapbox.
Oh boy. Okay. So first of all, you know, the capitalism, I don't agree with that completely, although I do ask sort of the reverse question of what happened to capitalism. Because yeah, these data centers require absolutely no ongoing costs or maintenance at all. No electricity, no cooling, no power. No staff to make sure everything is running, no security efforts,
no hardware replacements.
No hardware replacements. All this stuff is absolutely free. It's wonderful. You know, what makes me, I guess the other thing that jumps to mind is, okay, why now? Gee, I have no idea. With the environment out there and everybody slapping lawsuits on Apple, and some of them, some of the regulatory issues that are going on, that, you know, the other parties seem to be going against Apple. It's like, why don't, you know, we just pile on as a class action lawsuit and gouge for a little more money, you know? And that's what it's all about. You know, it's not about the users. I'm sorry. You know, if memory serves on what I've read about this, you know, there is this little issue that you do have the option to store your photos, your documents on other services. Mm-hmm. The only thing that you really can't store on other services without jumping through lots of hoops, including some third-party software, is the actual settings for the device. And those are the things that Apple wants to be absolutely, absolutely sure that are secure for you. And so, and 5 gigs is more than enough to do that. So the rest is just, this is all just, I'm trying to think of a new term for it. And I'm going to start calling it class action theater. Because
oh my God, I love it. Chuck, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get a whole studio set up, you know, like the dark wood paneling wall, the big crushed velvet chair, the fire's going, you're sitting there in your lounge jacket with your pipe and your brandy snifter. Hello and welcome to another episode of Class Action Theater.
Yeah, I mean, the argument I can follow to some extent. But only to some extent, because I think I agree with Chuck overall. It's theater. The argument is that certain files, especially device settings, I think health data or stuff like that, cannot easily be backed up to another cloud provider like Google Drive or Backblaze or whatever you're using. Okay, probably has a point there. Not easily, at least, but I mean, you could just back it up to your computer and then take it from there. So doable. Mm-hmm. And then they're saying, and because of that, it's basically a requirement that you use iCloud, and Apple only gives you 5 gigs. That's where they lose me. I'm like, yeah, no. And nobody said that it had to be free. Like, nobody said that any backup is even required. I mean, sure, you should do it, but it's like, if someone decides, no, I'm not doing it, I don't care. Well, that's their decision.
Yeah, and there are plenty of options out there. I mean, you know, to back up your iPhone. In fact, frankly, that's what I was thinking about, Patrice, is the idea that you use third-party software to back your iPhone up to your Mac and then store that information on another cloud service, at which point now it's become your responsibility. And now you can yell at the other cloud service if they're not secure.
Mm-hmm.
But here, you know, we all know about Apple's focus on security and privacy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if I'm worried about my health data getting out for whatever reason, you know, I want it to be as secure as possible. And the only place I can say I would be is with Apple.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And this class action lawsuit, it's not about the storage. It's hopping on the train of, I mean, the DMA, like all the arguments that like a lot of governments are having right now about Apple being gatekeeper and they should open up the platform. That's really what this is about. They want to force Apple to allow third-party backup solutions, mm-hmm. or at least get governments to do it. Like, even if this lawsuit goes nowhere, push this narrative that Apple should be doing this.
I don't think this law firm is actually that altruistic. This is a law firm that has a track record of concocting class action lawsuits against Apple. If they didn't have a history of this, then I'd be more inclined to say, yeah, maybe they are being altruistic. But or maybe I'm just too cynical now. But I don't.
No, I think the thing is, you can have it both ways in this case. make a ton of money. That was the iBooks thing was exactly that. Make a ton of money and push this narrative that Apple is a gatekeeper, because that allows you to do more like bring more lawsuits.
That's fair. Yeah. Okay.
See, and that's not altruistic. That
no,
is
no.
That is finding new markets.
That's capitalism right there.
Exactly.
Well, it's capitalism, but we're back to class action theater. It's almost class action market building. So that if I can hit them for this, I can hit them for that, and then later I can hit them for that. If I'm successful. And it's like, even if I'm not successful, at least it opens a door for me to talk about these other things. And the bad thing is that everybody looks at this and says, hey, it's Apple. They've got all the money in the world. They can afford to give us 10 gigs or 20 gigs or 30 gigs, for what we're paying them. And it's like, there's been capital investment in those data centers, but the ongoing costs are there. Oh yeah, and by the way, let's not forget property taxes, on any of this. I mean, you can just go on and on and say, really, has anybody done the math on this? And of course, you're probably never going to be able to, because it's Apple and it's held so close to the vest. But it seems to be so simplistic in my mind that they can afford to do this. And look, I know we have friends that have been on any of our shows that feel pretty strongly about Apple's being stingy, and that's fine. That's their opinion. It doesn't raise to the level of class action theater.
Oh, by the way, classactiontheater.com is available for
registration. It won't be for long.
You get on TSO host and use the discount code BTN20, so you get 20% off.
Yes. Yeah. As I said, I can, to some extent, I can follow the at least technical argument, but I don't agree with their conclusion.
I don't agree with their conclusion either. Just no. And
I just want to know where the Bar Association in their state is that isn't cracking down on some of this stupidity.
Which one was super easy? Alaska? I don't know. Or at Delaware. Least the movies, they always say, oh, I got it in Alaska. There's only five laws or something.
And wasn't one that of them Scraps? Is don't poke the bear.
I think that was Scraps. Ted got his in Alaska.
And I gave this example on other shows I was on this week talking about this. And, you go look at the competitors with backup. One drive only gives you 5 gigabytes. The Dropbox only gives you 2 gigabytes of free storage. Google's a little more generous and they give you 15 gigabytes. But...
The fact that you get anything for free at all.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, I mean, they could give you zero and it would still be correct and fine. Mm-hmm.
But there's still that restraint Apple has that you can't use those services directly like you do iCloud. I mean, the OneDrive is a good example. Is, in the corporate world, I've talked about this, that they have folder redirection. So all of your stuff can be backed up to OneDrive, so desktop documents and such. If iCloud's not working, can't do it. You have to turn off OneDrive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's only because it's Apple putting that on the grasp.
Yeah.
Dave, the one thing I feel obligated to bring up is, because somebody's going to say, well, look, Google could do it. They give you 15 gigs. Yeah, but that 15 gigs is
even that is not enough.
Well, but it's also shared amongst
all kinds of services, not just the drive.
By the way, at least some of those services potentially generate revenue for Google.
Potentially.
Because I'm not prepared, Ben, to say that your Google Docs or your Google I forget what they call it.
Gmail,
the spreadsheets. No, Gmail.
Oh, sheets.
Google Sheets.
Sheets.
Yeah.
Gmail, definitely they scrape your data and use that. But I'm not prepared to say, because I haven't done the research on Sheets or Docs or any of that. So I don't know if that is subject to scraping or not. But at the end, and I think that's a key point, that they're able to generate some cash from that. So they're giving you more, so you will give them more, and it's an endless machine. Apple says 5 gigs, and we're not making anything off of you.
Yeah. But I mean, seriously, you people just paid from 600 to 1200 bucks on a phone, and they're worried about 99 cents to 999 per month
for extra storage. Yeah.
Yeah, for it. I mean, the that's like buying a car and being mad that Hyundai doesn't throw in the gas.
That's good. Interesting analogy. I brought this up on In Touch with iOS, Dave Ginsberg's podcast last night.
Might have heard of it.
If your complaint is that Apple is generating pure profit off of offering the service, and you don't like that.
Doubt it.
Yeah. Why?
And even if it's not illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So
ask any makeup company, any like luxury watch company, whatever. The margins are pretty big.
Mm-hmm. Now, I can walk into Barnes & Noble, and this is not a hypothetical because I actually do have a Barnes & Noble member subscription thing. You walk into Barnes & Noble, you pay them a stupid amount of money, and they give you a little card, and now you get a discount on all your purchases that you make through Barnes & Noble. And signing up for that members club, if you will, that actually is pure profit. And if you go into, say, REI, outdoor equipment store that's here in the United States, they're a co-op, and so anyone can buy in there, but you get a kickback on your purchases at the end of the year if you buy a membership. And that is pure profit. Why are they not suing businesses that are doing that, where it literally is pure profit?
Well, ask any fitness studio. They're selling way more subscriptions than would fit, but most people never show up. That's pure profit for them.
Yeah, that's pure profit.
Still not illegal, because it's your choice. You could show up. You just never do. Would have the problem.
Patrice, I'm going to split the hair with you there just a little bit, because it's not completely pure profit, because they still have to maintain the building in order for you to maintain the membership. If the building goes away, then, you know, they would be completely charging for nothing.
Most fitness studios don't have enough space for everybody. If everybody was really showing up, they would have a problem, because then they would have to have bigger buildings. The building is probably paid for by the people who actually show, and the others are profit.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's a gray area, probably.
Yeah, I mean, the profit margin for the folks that never use it is on those memberships is usually higher than the ones that actually do.
For sure, yes.
But it's not pure. If you look up the word,
but it's very close. I mean,
it's close.
It's also not pure profit for Apple to operate iCloud, no matter how you argue it. Like, there is some cost. Actually, Amazon is very smart. Their basically their data center usage for Amazon itself, as far as I know, is completely paid by AWS already. So they have free servers basically for Amazon.
Nice. I mean, for them, yeah, nice.
Smart, very smart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. All right. Well, hold on. Grabbing another link here. Boy, I was so prepared for that, wasn't I? I mean, okay, here we go.
Those links can always be a little bit wild, Jeff.
They can. I mean, they're cute and cuddly, but I mean, they're not domesticated. So I guess that means I just dropped a free range link into the chat.
Not domesticated.
All right. So this story, Apple is offering up some new guidance on their DMA compliance in the EU, because developers have been kind of concerned. And actually, Dave, you know more about this one than I do. So do you mind just like giving us the overview?
Sure. Just got to bring this back up. This was in relation to the updated terms on an exit clause. Basically, they're bringing in an exit clause in place that, and it seemed kind of strange. I'm just trying to remember. We talked about this last night. It does say that it makes it easier for developers to create alternative app marketplaces and not requiring a standby letter of credit under certain circumstances. Yeah. If the developer's account has existed for 2 years and has established app business for more than 1 billion, then they could open up an alternate marketplace without the standby letter of credit. So this kind of seems to be kind of an interesting thing here, why they're going to put together a standby here on this. That's what I've understood.
Yeah, that was my take too. And I'm feeling like Apple is still pushing as much as they can for nothing more than strict compliance with the letter of the law.
Yeah.
Which is fine because they're not required to do anything else.
Yeah.
Sure. Requirement is you have to comply with it. That's mm-hmm. it. Nothing more, nothing less. Which is mm-hmm. what Apple is doing. Yeah, but I mean there were some real concerns that were addressed. So like the requirement, like I think one of the three changes was about like an amendment to the contract you have with Apple that mm-hmm. was basically on an enterprise level. So if you had multiple developer accounts, I don't know, bigger companies have a bunch of them sometimes because they have mm-hmm. different legal, like different entities below them doing different things. You basically had to opt in all or nothing. So either all accounts or none of them. And now you can do it on the individual account level, basically. So yeah. You can say, okay, there's a whatever. I mean, very common probably. There's a EU company doing something like we have with what's the company's name that got their stuff terminated?
Epic.
Oh, yeah, Epic. They I mean, they have a European entity in Sweden, I think, and they have a US entity. And yeah, it's the same corporate thing, but it's two companies. So now they can say, well, for European, we do Europe, and for US, we do US. And it works. Yeah, so that's that. There was a concern about this technology fee. Because for some small, especially, like basically if you go viral, like WidgetSmith did, you could run into the problem that within like basically no time at all, you go like into millions of dollars of debt for something that you're not charging for at all. Because you crossed the million installs threshold. So now there is a way to basically say you have a one-time chance to opt out. So if that happens, you can say, well, no, sorry, opting out. But then you opted out of the DMA, of the rules. So you have to go back to the App Store.
Yeah.
So either you pay or you go back. I'm not sure how that's going to end because I don't think that is a good solution.
Yeah. There's one company in mind that comes to mind when it comes to these rule changes. Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, but they can afford technology fee.
Yeah.
I think for the most part, that's not. But as I said, for smaller ones, that is a real concern. Like, I mean, you might do something really cool and like cross the million, like something cool that is not on the App Store because you can't do it there or you don't want to do it there, whatever your reasons are. And then you cross the million install app threshold and all of a sudden you're screwed. Either you have to really quickly find a way to charge for things or like you're like on the hook for millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben, you found a related story to this.
Yeah.
That involves by chance Epic. Tell us about that. Please.
Yeah. Everybody knows that this week, the aforementioned Swedish developers account for the EU was terminated by Apple. Do you want to know who did not like that other than Epic? The EU.
Oh, EU.
What a surprise.
Yeah, and now Apple is being investigated for non-compliance, which if found in non-compliance, the EU has the authority to make that $2 billion Spotify fine make look like a drop in the bucket.
Yeah. We'll see about that. You have to, like, this is coming from a German member of the European Parliament, and you have to know where, like, which part of the spectrum he belongs to understand, like, a little bit the story behind it. He is on the right on the right hand side of the spectrum in Europe, so very conservative, and yeah, so we'll see about that. I honestly don't understand what Apple did here, why they terminated it, and yeah, we'll see how that ends. Apple hasn't terminated it. Apple just said, well, prove to me, dear Epic, please prove to me that you're not gonna do the thing you did in the US, which is, I think, a legitimate question.
My understanding was, though, that this was sort of something that the decision in Apple's favor previously gave them the right to do, that they could at their discretion.
Globally.
Well,
not globally.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Yeah.
In the US, yes. In other countries, I don't know what the law says about that, but I would question that a decision in a court in the US has an effect on a legal entity in Europe.
On the other hand, Apple's domiciled in the
that
US.
That is true. But
and the App Store is domiciled.
Then the DMA comes into play. So as I said, I'm not so sure. It was very clearly the European entity that wanted to do that. I said, we'll see how that turns out. I don't think it's about fines. I think it's about, Apple does have the right to refuse if someone doesn't follow the rules and breaches contracts. And that's also in Europe the same way, no matter what the EU says. Like, if you breach a contract, breach of trust, if you do something you're not supposed to, they have a right. And then the company has a right to sue, and then let's see what happens. But so I can understand the question to say, like, after everything that happened, and Epic is a US company as well. Like, can we trust that you're going to follow the rules?
Well, and Apple's terms for developers say that if your account's terminated and you just spin up another account to keep going, you can't do that.
No.
And that's in essence what's happened here is their US developer account got shut down. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, we'll just use the Swedish company instead.
Yeah. But here's the thing on that. Apple was just fined $2 billion for Spotify. It's pretty clear that the EU is looking at them pretty intensely. This is one of those things where, in theory, they have the right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, is that smart business?
No, it's probably a very bad time to do this. Will the Spotify thing stand? We'll see. Like this, we've seen this with other fines that they ultimately disappeared again. I honestly don't believe it's correct. Like, I don't think Apple should be fined here, but that's a different story.
The two theories I have seen on this. Number one. Basically, Spotify and Epic successfully baited Phil Schiller into getting Apple fined.
Mm-hmm.
Apple was basically like, okay, we'll play because they want to challenge the DMA itself.
Ben, I'm going to take a little different tact on the second part and with the Swedish ban, and that is that just because a bully has hit you the first time, you shouldn't just cow to the bully the second or third or fourth time.
Yep.
And so, you know, the fa if Apple was running scared, and I think there's an argument that if Apple didn't challenge this, and look, let's face it, what they could have done, maybe it would have been smarter, I don't know, but they could have let Epic do their thing and then watched Epic, you know, like a hawk and
Very
bounced them
closely.
as soon as they did something. On the other hand, that sets a different kind of precedent that, well, yay, we're now going to have to watch everybody because everybody's going to be testing us. So instead, they sent something and said, "Hey, you proved yourselves not trustworthy before. Are you? What assurances can you give us?" And Epic just said, "Yeah, trust us. You know, of course you will. You should." And so there was no, Epic didn't go out of its way to say, "Hey, you know, we."
Yeah, we're sorry, but hey,
Well,
can we have
yeah.
this account, please? Like,
Yeah, I mean, I don't even want to know that. Sorry, Patrice, but yes, we assure you that we will stringently adhere to Apple's guidelines. You know, that because sorry implies they did something wrong, and I know that's never they're never going to do that. So, I feel like, you know, that maybe both sides could have handled it a little better. But yes, I'm Apple biased, but I feel like all
I
Epic is
mean.
doing is just they're looking for press.
Oh yeah, the play for Epic is pretty obvious. Like, I mean, I think I'm like on 50% certain at least that the reason they even spun up this account was because they knew that Apple would probably do that, and then they have another 5 weeks of press.
It's like you're reading my mind.
But I
I
mean,
firmly believe that Epic doing this when they did it, that's not coincidence. They were very specifically going for the timing. And they were assuming that Apple would shut down the account, and they just played Apple. They
I
because
mean,
Apple's in a position where they had to do the thing that they had to do at the time when it looks the worst for Apple.
I mean, for the bully thing, yeah, you gotta stand up for yourselves, but sometimes you don't hit back when the cops are just standing there.
That's a fair point, Ben. And Jeff, to your point, you know, the timing part, gee, isn't this, doesn't this sound a little bit, no, scratch that, a lot like what Epic did before when, you know, they had everything, all the videos and everything right ready to go as soon as, you know, it's like this is their modus operandi. And so give their legal team, give their marketing team, give their, you know, evil department, crew credit, but this is not doing business in a decent, above board, good way.
What a
Oh,
change this is. I
the
mean, remember when Apple was the underdog and everything? And now
I mean,
Apple is being
the
hammered on by
$3 trillion
people that
company.
want to
Yeah,
claim to
but
be
I
the
mean, that
underdog.
happened many years. I mean, Apple has a history of doing this. Like the whole what was it called? Double Irish in a Dutch sandwich or something? Whatever
Yes.
that trick was called. That whole thing was an app, actually Steve Jobs' invention, an Apple invention, and like for decades they were very successful with that, like bending the rules to their will and making as little, like paying as little tax as they possibly can, and so on. Like, so this is Apple. Like, this is not a change. This is Apple. They're just bigger now and under more scrutiny, and maybe they should be more careful with that because, I mean, that ended at some point, and they got fined. Or, well, they tried to get fined, and I think then it disappeared. But, or maybe it's still ongoing. I don't remember the whole taxes thing with Ireland. Might still be ongoing. But I mean, they know, like, they know they're under scrutiny in most of the world currently. So maybe you should be careful with what you do and not do.
Yeah, maybe you should.
I mean, the other part about that. That $2 billion fine was not a, did not go unnoticed by shareholders.
I can't. I mean,
Yeah.
sure, Apple can totally afford it. Like, that's not the question, but it's still 2 billion that you could have used for something else.
Yeah, I mean, it's to the
That's a fifth of a car project right there.
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's to the point where When is kind of standing up to yourself bad business?
I think it always is to some extent, but it's the way how you do it. I mean, there's the way you can work with governments and figure out like ways and be friendly and say, okay, we understand this has to change, and okay, let's work together and come up with a good solution. Or you can do the Apple way and say, screw this, we're basically doing the minimum we can and the most complicated way we can, so nobody's gonna want to do this, and let's see what happens. And that's what Apple was doing.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. You don't hear anything from. I mean, other companies are also falling under DMA. There's Meta. There's, I think, Microsoft. Bunch of others. You're not hearing much. I mean, maybe that's just the Apple lens of things, but you're not hearing much of issues there.
No.
Because they seldom generate the number of clicks that Apple does.
To some extent, you're right. But I mean, bashing Meta, especially for privacy topics, is something that gets clicks.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I haven't heard anything. They released their Signal thing and barely a blip on the radar.
Yeah.
But now everybody expects it from Meta. Meta, you know.
That's true.
After a while, you know, if you burn the toast enough, you just expect that if you order toast, you're going to get it burned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm going to use that somewhere. I'm tucking that away, Chuck. I love that.
I was thinking of your breakfast, Jeff. So, you know, that's.
Oh, well, you know what? I'll let you know if my toast turns out okay. Yeah. You know what does always turn out okay? That would be TSO host. Yep. And why does TSO host turn out okay all the time? Well, because they are offering rock solid web hosting, and they make it super easy to buy domain names, and they offer good pricing and great customer support. And what they're doing is taking all the stuff that they do so well, and they are giving it to us here at the British Tech Network. They are giving us the bandwidth to live stream shows every single week. They give us the hosting space. So there's a place for the website to live. So you can go and find all the episodes that you want whenever you want. And then they're giving us the server storage space we need so that all of those show recordings that you want to go and find at the website are there and ready for you to download and watch or listen at your leisure. The resources it takes to do all of this is kind of bonkers, and it's way beyond what we would be able to manage to bring together on our own. So TSO host stepped in and very generously said, we'd like to give back to the community through you. And so they're giving us all of those resources so we can do all of this for you. And we really, really appreciate it. So thank you, TSO hosts, for being here and supporting us. And all of you, please go and thank TSO host as well. It's all we need to do. Just give them a little online love. Everyone deserves a little something, something every now and then. And this is a great way to let them know that we all do really appreciate what they're doing for us. So go out on social media, thank TSO host for being here and supporting us. Mm. And thank you again, TSO host. Now, I mentioned earlier, hey, Chuck could go by that domain name and use TSO host for that and a discount code. Here's what I'm talking about. Go to TSO host, find that domain name that you want to buy. If you need to add in a hosting package for that as well because you want to make a website, great. Just get all of it in your cart, everything you need. And then add the discount code BTN20 so you get 20% off your order. And what that means is that not only is TSO host being generous by supporting the British Tech Network by giving us these services, they're also giving something to all of you simply because you're part of the BTN family. So take advantage of that. And thanks again, Tioso Host, for being here and supporting us. Speaking of support, Patrice, I genuinely need yours. Even though last week I did manage to rather smoothly fumble through talking about the chat, you just do it way better.
You actually did well last week, I have to say. Like, it was, the URLs were correct and overall the information was correct. So
it's awesome.
Not too bad. You're getting better.
So what you're saying is without you in here to screw me up on the URLs, I do okay?
I guess so. So yeah, we have a really cool live chat. When we are, like, whenever we're recording the show, we are in our live chat. And if you want to join us, listen to us live and then talk to us, you have to do that when we're recording, which is Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. And also if you're into the non-Apple side of things, like, chip design, gaming, Windows, Android, space, whatever, like different kind. There's all kinds of tech out there. You should listen to the big show Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time. Be careful in the next 2 weeks. I think Northern America and maybe some other places are switching to daylight savings time, and Europe is for another 2 weeks not. So show times will be different. I just posted it on our social media on Mastodon. So yeah, or just have a look at the website, you will see it there as well. So be careful with that. And then just head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com for our live chat, and you can talk to us. It's really cool. We post a lot of things, we post a lot of cool things, we talk to people and like banter and all of that. So it's a cool chat. But let's say you are listening to this in the recorded form on our awesome website, hosted by TSO Host, I don't know, YouTube Music, or wherever you find the podcast, your favorite podcast player, whatever that is, Apple Podcasts, it's, I think, quite popular. You can still find our live chat. You can still see the transcript of our live chat. You can't go to the live chat because that's over. But you can still get the transcript. You head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then you, like a very friendly calendar, will ask you for a date. And if you put in a date, any day between, I think, the 2nd of June 2015 and today would be, for example, the 8th of March 2024, International Women's Day, by the way, then you will find the transcript for that particular day. So if you put in today's date, you will see what we talked about today.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that. I feel like it just is much more professional coming from you.
Not so sure about it.
Well, just trust me on that one. All right. So now, time for some cool things. And actually, Ben, it looks like you have an appropriate cool thing. And you're muted.
Yeah, I just figured that out. Yep. So my cool thing actually is International Women's Day.
Nice.
Yep. Let's be honest. Unless you were hatched, an alien hatched from an egg, you wouldn't be here without women. And there are lots of great women in the world, working throughout their careers, some of them helping to raise families, just doing all sorts of awesome stuff. So give them some props today.
You know, how about take it a step farther? Give them some props every day.
Every day, yes. Yeah, especially Patrice, without Patrice, let's be honest, this show would not be working.
That's actually literally true.
It is true.
Yeah.
You would figure it out.
No, Patrice, we wouldn't.
No.
Yeah, without you, we would be genuinely lost.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. I love this cool thing. I'm going out on a limb and saying that Ben just dropped the best cool thing of the day. Okay. So, Chuck, top that.
I can't. So all I can do is just give my cool thing, but I can't.
All you
that.
Can do is spend my money.
Yes. Well, all our money.
I don't even know if this is going to necessarily spend your money, because short version, I'm sort of trying to catch up here on some personal projects and things I've wanted to do for a while, and you just never seem to get around to them. So I've made a list, and I'm trying to check things off. I have a couple different security cameras here at home. I have a Eufy, I have a Waze, Wise.
Mm-hmm.
And up till now, I've been very happy with both of them for the uses I put them to, because I usually use them just as live cameras to be able to look out at different views outside my house, not necessarily inside. But a couple incidents have happened that I've found that now I want to be able to have recordings of things in case anything goes wrong that needs to be documented. And so I've been terribly delinquent in equipping either one of these with its own memory card. Now, of course, we all know you can pay for the cloud storage service for different webcams, or security cameras, excuse me. But that just seems like one more bill I really don't need, because I'm not going to need these things that often. So I decided to go ahead and just buy some decent sized memory cards for them, because both of these models accept memory cards, local storage, no cloud required. So I started doing some shopping and looking around, and I found a crazy good deal on 2 64 gig micro SD cards that are Class 10 rated. They work fine in both cameras. And they were only 18. It was only $18.80. So that's $9 or so, less than $10 each. And it also came with one of the full size adapters. If you were buying these, I'm going to use them for, you know, photography or something else. So this obviously depends on just how stringent your hardware is and what is required for them. And usually I'm the one that says, you know, stick with the brand names. But in this case, it's something that, you know, hey, I was willing to take a shot at it. Certainly, if it didn't work, it was not going to damage the camera. So I took a shot at these, and these seem to be just functioning just great. So if you have a security camera that has the ability to do onboard storage, maybe you can save a little money on the cloud services or the cloud subscriptions by equipping it with these. And again, give them a try, test them out thoroughly to make sure they work with your hardware. But I can tell you with mine, I've seen no reason to pay more at this stage of the game. And, you know, for that 64 gigs, if memory serves, I think that gives me about 8 days of recording on one or both cameras. So
nice.
That's more than enough.
If you're into doing anything with Raspberry Pi, you're always looking for deals on micro SD cards anyhow. So I'll probably end up grabbing a pack, even though I don't have a use for them today. But there's always a Pi project in the pipeline for me somewhere. And it's just so much easier to start with a new card and then keep whatever I had set up on the other project on the other card, and I can just swap them out.
Yeah.
All right. So nice pick. And Patrice, it's your turn.
It's my turn. So it's something that I heard of, I think, on some other podcast the other day. The tool is called FakeSpot. So, you know, you have that problem that on, well, big shopping websites, first and foremost, I think Amazon, but there's probably a million others where the same problem happens. There's a ton of fakes, like fake products, fake reviews, like all of that. There is a tool called FakeSpot by Amazon, by Mozilla, that can help you with that. So it's an AI tool that they've trained on fake reviews and so on. And you basically point it to a product and say, yeah, let me know what you think. And it will check the reviews. It will check like when they were added and how they are written and like a million other things. And we'll try at least to determine, could this be a fake or not? Like, is it going to be 100%? No. But what I really liked about it, and I tried it with on a couple things that I wanted to order, is it not just checks it, but it also summarizes. So you get a really nice summary of the product and the reviews and says, okay, this is like on average, like most people said something in this direction. Like it summarizes the reviews and says, okay, most people found this problematic or really like this or whatever. So it's also using probably some GPT, some LLM in the background to do like a summary of what is written and so on. So yeah, it's actually a pretty cool tool. It's free. Sets from Mozilla, and you can add it to Safari, or I think on iOS there's an app. I think it's a browser that you can use, but you can also just go to the FakeSpot website, post in your URL, and it will do it on the website. You don't need to install anything if you don't want to. So give it a try. It's free.
That's very cool. How did I not know about this before now?
I had the same question. I was like, how didn't we hear about this? But on some podcast, someone mentioned it. I think it might have been Gruber. Don't remember. Some podcast I listened to this week. And I was like, oh, this is a cool idea. Let's try that. And I tried it, and it actually works. At least so far. We'll see.
Awesome. All right. Well, at least you guys haven't spent that much of my money today.
Yet.
Yet. All right. Dave, your turn.
Yes. This is it's not your ordinary thumb drive. This is from our friends at the Mac OWC. This is a 1 terabyte OWC and Envoy Pro Mini SSD. Got it on camera here, this little guy. It's both USB-C and USB-A. This isn't a normal SSD. I mean, this is not a normal thumb drive. This is a solid SSD drive. And it's got some pretty amazing speeds, up to 500 plus megabytes per second data power. It's universal, so you can pretty much use it with any device you can think of, including the iPhone 15. You can use it with your iPad. You can use it with any Mac. And it works with the Mac. It even works with Time Machine, which is the thing. You know, when you can't use, generally, normally can't use a standard thumb drive for Time Machine. On this device, you can, because it's designed like a standard solid-state drive. So very pocket. You got even got this nice little lanyard you can put around your neck if you need to carry it around when you're sharing it with a coworker or whatever that is. And yeah, it's a nice little drive. I'm very impressed with it. I originally bought the 500 gig, but this is the 1 terabyte model, which is one with some extra space, and not terribly expensive. We just missed the sale. It was $20 off, but when I bought it, but it's at $149.99 US. And yeah, check it out. I think it's a nice little drive.
Yeah, I mean, cool. if you're doing video very with cool. your iPhone 15 Pro, this is a must have.
I like that the body on this is aluminum instead of plastic.
Yep. Oh yeah, it's this thing's solid. It pulls out very easy. It goes to USB-A or USB-C.
Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that the cap on the USB-C side is attached, which actually turns it into your lanyard piece, David. But so many of those darn things, you know, they come with caps. You lose them about 30 seconds after you get them.
Oh,
easily.
I think OWC was thinking with this, adding this little clip to keep it in place. It's very easy to remove and put back on again.
Very cool.
Wow. If you scroll down the page, 1 terabyte of Envoy Pro Mini will store 200 high definition movies. 41.6 hours of GoPro 4K footage.
Yeah, it's a workhorse. I mean, I've been using the other one for a while, and it's fast too.
Yeah, like you said, Dave, this is not your grandmother's.
This isn't the thumb drive. This is a true solid state drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, so I guess that means it's my turn. And Ben, you're going to be completely shocked. Shocked, I say, because I'm bringing a Lego kit that was just announced. I know.
I'm so surprised.
What a shock.
All right. So one of the best
Batman
series is the animated Batman. And so Lego has a new kit coming out at the beginning of April, where it's the Gotham City skyline. And it's like the skyline at dusk, and the bat symbol is being projected in the sky, and the buildings, a lot of them have little Easter eggs, like the facade will pop off the front, and then you get to see something inside. Like you can see the bat cave inside one, and you can see a inside a jewelry store where Catwoman and Poison Ivy have been stealing jewels, and you can find there's stuff like hiding in the Joker's theme park, and then it comes with four minifigures. So you get Batman, Joker, Harley Quinn, and Catwoman, and it looks like a very intricate build, and it's big.
Yeah, it even looks like it's on TV.
Yeah, it does. It looks like it's on TV. Yep. And this one has how many bricks?
4210.
Right. So the kit is priced at $299.99, so $300 for the kit. So this is a surprisingly good price for a DC licensed kit, especially one from the Batman franchise, because usually you pay a hefty licensing fee for a kit like this. So the fact that it's coming in at $300 instead of like $450 or even higher is quite surprising. But it's a cool looking kit, and it's available on April 4th, I think.
Right.
And there's a bonus right now. If you buy Lego kits that are $200 or more, you get a free bonus kit that's thrown in, and it's like a Lego City scale kit of a flower shop. So, you know.
Yep.
Nice little bonus.
Yeah, which is appropriate, because if you spend that much money as an adult on Lego kits, you may be having to buy your spouse flowers if you have one.
I want to point out that I live alone.
Exactly.
That is no reason not to buy someone flowers.
That's absolutely true.
Intent.
Oh. Okay.
All right. So, by the way, there are Lego flower kits, and around Valentine's Day, Costco had the Lego roses available. So you could have combined two loves, the love of your life and Lego. All right. So with that, I know, Chuck, you're looking at this and you're thinking, I can't believe this is something Jeff brought. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, that's actually kind of cool.
Oh, there's no question this is cool. I mean, I'm sitting here watching. Unfortunately, I'm distracted because I'm watching the videos and looking at all the pieces and all
and the details, like you said, that are in this kit.
Yes.
Yeah, the little Easter egg kind of things. Yeah, it's if they're going to, I mean, when they do these things, they do them well. There's no question about
it. Yeah. And it has like Lego created these wall hanger bricks for some of the kits that they started making several years ago. So this has the wall hanger bricks on the back, or elements on the back. So it's designed just right from the build. So you can set it on a surface and display it, or hang it on a wall.
I did not know that. That's even cooler because of the dimensionality of especially of this one.
Yeah.
That would be a very interesting. Do they say what it? Forgive me now. Now I'm a little obsessed over that. Do they say what it weighs when it's completely?
I'm sure somewhere I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I was trying to find it. Just that more out of curiosity. I would guess you'd probably be 3 or 4 pounds at most, but I don't know.
The weight of Lego bricks adds up pretty quick. So
Yeah. It's rather surprising.
yeah. So something like this, I mean, it's going to weigh more than your MacBook Pro, Chuck.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, when you start looking, because again, you have layers upon layers. It's not just like it's a flat thing, so.
Though I do have to say, for the power you get, the current range of MacBook Pros is pretty light.
True.
Yeah, that's fair too. Yep. Chuck, I can't wait to see this on the wall behind you with your displays. I mean, that upward facing lighting that illuminates the walls for you, that light's going to play so well on this.
Right.
He's like, I gotta get out of here.
What happened to the wood paneling and the crushed velvet and all that?
Oh, this can be
Check.
part of that as well.
Shag carpet too. Shag
Yeah.
carpet.
Don't
Like it,
forget the
Dave.
mirror ball.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Chuck, I can visualize that just so clearly in my head.
There's no doubt in my mind that you can visualize that,
You're gonna
Jeff.
pose like this Saturday Night Fever.
I feel like you're trying to turn me into Hugh Hefner.
No, Chuck, we just want to make sure you're staying alive.
Just need to
Yeah,
get the
I
pipe.
see what you did there, Ben.
Oh, Ben, that was terrible.
Yeah, and now we can wrap up the show with another Chuck impression with the pipe and the brandy snifter. Thank you for coming to another fine
And the smoking jacket,
episode
too.
of The Mac Show.
Wow.
Need that smoking jacket.
Oh, you really do. Yeah. It's I seriously, I can picture it. All right. So with that, really,
Let's wrap it
thank you
up.
to all of
Yeah,
you for being here.
honestly, between Jeff's pick and the idea of the smoking jacket, I just pictured Chuck as the 60s penguin.
Okay, it's time to go.
Yes,
Yeah, I think it
it
is. So
is way fast time to go.
with that, Ben, where can people find you when you're not doing your Chuck impressions?
Well, Mr. Gamut, you can find me at Ben Rathig on your social media of choice. Rathig.tech for my writings and ravings. On Tuesdays, you can find me on Mac Voices Live with the Pe 60s Penguin himself, Chuck Joyner. On Thursdays, you can find me on In Touch with iOS with Mr. Dave Ginsberg. And of course, Thursday and Friday, you can find me here on the British Tech Network on the Big and Mac shows.
Awesome. Awesome. And Dave, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me at In Touch with iOS and intouchwithios.com. I'm coming up on the 300th episode, very a few weeks here,
Yeah.
so get ready for that. You can
Party.
we're gonna have a all the friends will be there to celebrate that when that happens in a few weeks. You can find us on the YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm he here on Fridays. I'm on Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights, and I'm also on Mastodon at DaveG65 at Mastodon.cloud, and I'm also in touch with iOS at TechHangout.social. Thanks to Patrice.
Awesome. Awesome. And Chuck. when you're not lounging in your crushed velvet chair by the fireplace on the bearskin rug, where can people find you?
Oh my gosh.
Right, far away as here from here as possible.
Yeah, this will be my last appearance on the Mac Show.
Story of my life.
Yeah, you can find me at macvoices.com. That's where we are finally, it looks like, wrapping up our CES coverage after it has gone on quite a bit longer than expected. You can find me on Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are. And it will change for 2 weeks, I guess, for the UK. Sorry about that because of the time zone changes. But the U.S. will still be there. If you're in the U.S., you can still follow us. Everybody here is or has been on there, and they're always welcome, just like you are. And you can find me on all the socials as at Chuck Joyner. Thank you, I think, Jeff.
Oh, Chuck, I'm really glad you're my friend. And also, I'm so sorry.
And you continue to find really interesting ways to show it, Jeff. Thank you.
Yes. Oh, thank you. I think. Oh, Patrice, where can people find you?
You can follow that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how to follow that. So, I'm here every week on the Mac Show on Fridays, on the Big Show on Thursdays. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the projects, literally everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com. And since Dave mentioned techhangout.social, yes, I'm running a Mastodon instance, a friendly little Mastodon instance. If you know any one of us and you want to join that instance, you want to migrate, you want to sign up, yeah, it's invite only, but you can get a link from us. It's not a problem.
Awesome. And, you know, I said that I'm glad Chuck's my friend, but the reality is I'm really glad that all of you are my friends.
Same here.
And I genuinely love getting to hang out with all of you every single week. It is a treat for me. So thank you. And with that, hey, thank you to everyone that's watching or listening live for being here and being part of the show, participating in the live chat. Everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Ewan, thank you just for being you and for being incredibly tolerant of me. And Mueller.
Us.
Mueller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. Tiosa hosts, thank you for being here. And supporting us, everyone, go give them some online love. And need to tell you about the daily news show. If you're not already listening to that every single day, well, it's time to start, because that's your 5 minutes of tech news every morning. Kyle does an amazing job with the show, and then. Go to the BTN website and smash that button to send money in to keep the show going, because it does take extra resources for the daily news show. So throw some money at that and keep that show going. And yeah, so I think that wraps up most of everything. As Patrice has pointed out, please, everyone remember that we are now in that funky phase where the United States is screwing up the time zone shifts for everyone for a week or two. So make sure that next week everyone shows up at the right times for the shows. Yeah, and Patrice, thank you for putting a thing in the Slack room to let everyone know what the times are, because the likelihood that I would screw it up is very high. Yeah. Anyhow, so with that, thanks again to everyone for being here. And I never told anyone where to find me, did I?
Nope.
I'm Jay Gamut on all the socials. Just go find me, Mastodon, Instagram, Threads. All the shows that everyone has talked about here, that's the same shows, and then also the Context Machine with Brian Chaffin. All right. So with that, go team. All right, everyone, be sure and tune in next Thursday for the big show, next Friday for the Mac show. Don't forget about the time change, and everyone have an awesome weekend. We'll see you next week.